So in our readings this morning, just a couple of things I just kind of want to point out how they're relevant to what we're looking at in James today. In Psalms, he says, "Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints." And in verse 30, he says, "The mouth of the righteous speak wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide." And then towards the end, he says, Salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in their time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him." And then in Romans 8, 28, he says, "And we know that all these things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So those are kind of, keep those kind of in mind as we're going through James today. Oh, also, start by turning to James chapter 3. And we'll read the entire chapter. Chapter 3. "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. It is sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace and by those who make peace." So I've been enjoying this study that we've been going through in James. It's been interesting to me to make these ties that we have back to our previous journey through Galatians. For me, it has really helped to kind of mesh and simplify and build upon what I believe. It has struck me while studying Galatians when Paul tells them that he came to them because of his infirmity. He stopped there in Galatia because at that time he was unable to travel any further, and he shared the gospel with them. And that despite his weakness, they did not despise or reject him. But he said they received him as an angel from God. Then in chapter 6, talking about those who follow the law, Galatians chapter 6, that is, which gives them something to boast about. And he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "God forbid that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." So if we follow this chain of thought, and we go to Corinthians chapter 2, Paul also says there, "I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that is what I mean by learning about the simplicity of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said that he knew nothing and taught. All he taught was Christ and him crucified. Even Paul, the great apostle, said he came to those in Corinth in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And in Galatians, he stopped there because of his physical infirmity. Despite his circumstances, he simply preached Christ and Christ crucified. The gospel really is that simple. And it should be the center of all of our preaching and teaching. All the things that we teach should point to Christ, and our learning should be focused on growing our understanding of Christ and him crucified. That really is what James has been teaching, that those who are Christ's will be like Christ, and their life will exhibit Christ-like traits. If we focus our hearts and our minds on Christ, our life will reflect that very thing. Or as Paul said in Galatians, those who are in the Spirit will walk in the Spirit. This is a way that you can measure that your faith is a true faith, one that is in word and in deed, and not just in word alone. Often we see in believers today the need, they want to make a codified law, or some list that we must follow because we are Christians and that is what we do. Some even interpret this book of James in that way, as a guide to follow, to increase in our holiness. But actually, what we are seeing here is not a guide of how to be holy, but of what a person who is declared holy by Christ and him crucified should look like. It really is that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins and of your rebellion, and be saved from the wrath of God, and be freed from the yoke of the bondage of sin. Christ says all those who love him will keep his commandments. In John chapter 14, verse 15, and later again in that chapter in verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is the type of person that James is talking about. This is the person who has Christ flowing out of their lives. Some want to make this a demand for a new law to those under the new covenant. But really, it is just the effect that Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit has on the life of the believer. Christ says to obey his commands, and we as believers can do nothing else but to follow the words of Christ. For as he says, anyone who loves me will keep my word. We do not need to keep God's commands in the same way that the Jews were required to keep the Mosaic Law. God's commands are not a new law to us, but it is a guide, and they are instructions through which we grow in our Christian walk. Unlike the Mosaic Law, which the Jews tried to keep for their justification, we have been justified by Christ and him crucified, and we follow his commandments, not out of duty, but out of a love for our Savior. That is the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We've been given the Holy Spirit, and those of us who are in the Spirit, we will walk in the Spirit, and against such there is no law, according to the Apostle Paul. James has really been pounding this home, that what a person with true faith, a person with the Spirit, who is imbued with righteousness and love, how they will live out their life in peace, in love, mercy, and truth, counting all of our trials as joy, knowing that ultimately we have been delivered from the bondage of sin, and we are free in Christ, who showers us with every good gift from above, granting us wisdom if we ask in faith without doubting. We should be swift to listen, slow to wrath, for wrath does not produce the righteousness of God. We should be laying aside all filthiness and wickedness and receive humbly and meekly God's word, which we should act upon, not just hear, but we should do. not thinking ourselves righteous, yet through our actions prove otherwise. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, not being partial, only loving or helping or teaching those who we think deserve it, but rather to all of those who are around us. Our faith will act. Our faith will produce good works. Our faith will not be empty, idle words, but should be full of action. And if there is no action, then that faith is dead. We will be a people who will bridle our tongues. We should be seeking to edify and build up, not gossip and tear down. If the love of Christ truly is ruling in our life, then these things ought to be. So I'm sure as all of you have heard, last week Sunday, there was another mass shooting reported at a church in Texas, 26 dead, out of a congregation of 50. And I think the other 22 of them were wounded. So almost every single person was shot. This has been something I've been thinking about all week. This is a great tragedy, and sadly it's just one of many that seems to be becoming just normal in our country. And yesterday I read a blog post from Will Wheaton, who, if you don't know, is an actor, and has quite a big following of fans. And bear with me as I think that this is very relevant to what we have been studying here in James. So apparently Will had made some comments about this latest shooting that was taken out of context, and it was twisted to mean something that he never meant it to mean. He said, "I am so sick and angry that this keeps happening. America is the only first world country where we do nothing while our fellow humans are slaughtered by entirely preventable gun violence every day. Our politicians can write and pass laws and can address this epidemic of gun violence, which should be considered a public health crisis, but instead they only offer up thoughts and prayers as a shield for their inaction." Now, I don't mean to get into the politics of this, but in this blog post he said that his anger towards these politicians who offer no help and no answer and seem to not really care always say that their thoughts and prayers are with the people. So someone took this quote and started reporting that Will was mocking Christianity, to which he replied he was not. He said, "I'm not attacking you or your faith, and I sincerely apologize to anyone who I have offended or hurt. I am angry at those who are quick to offer up thoughts and prayers after a mass murder, but refuse to do anything about it." So this is the part that I wanted to take note of. Will went on to say, "I do not mean to mock anyone's faith, except for those who hide behind empty words about thoughts and prayers, exploiting the real sincere beliefs held by people of faith. These politicians offer words without deeds over and over again, and I am sick and tired of it. That is what I'm attacking, and that is why I am angry." So as I read this, I instantly thought, wow, this is exactly what we've been studying here in James. This is exactly it. Empty words. Faith without action. James also says that every good thing comes from God. So I asked myself, what good came from this horrible thing? What good can come from 26 people being shot and killed in this little church in Texas? And then I read this post, and I thought, well, this right here. What this country saw in the aftermath of this horrible event was people praying, people worshiping God, people exercising their faith. These people did not blame God. They did not become angry at God, for they did not seek justice or revenge. They approached God for comfort that only He can provide. And even people like Will Wheaton, who is an atheist, recognized this faith as being different from the faith of the politicians. What was meant for evil, God turns for good. This is exactly what the book of James is talking about. A tangible faith, a real faith, that even when trials and tribulations, even unto death, this faith is unshaken. James continues making this argument throughout this entire book, and he just keeps building upon each point. In the passage today, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not ascend from above. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are." Just as there is a stark difference between true believing faith and one who is just claiming faith, one whose faith is empty just like the example James put forth of the brother who says, "Go, be warmed and filled," and yet does nothing. Or the one that Will Wheaton is calling out here, who says that they offer up their thoughts and prayers, yet does nothing. It is really the same with wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God brings with it the fruits of the Spirit, kindness, meekness, and the wisdom of the world produces envy and self-seeking. James says, do not lie against the truth. Do not fool yourself into thinking that this kind of wisdom comes from God. It is earthly and demonic. Wisdom is mentioned throughout all of Scripture. Proverbs 3:13-18 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." If we would go over just one more page to Proverbs 4, verse 7, he says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." In Ephesians, we are told that we should walk in wisdom. Chapter 5, verse 15. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." James here is comparing and putting two different types of wisdom side by side. The wisdom of the world, he says, is corrupt, sensual and demonic, full of envy and self-interest. The wisdom that the world offers does nothing but promote itself. Its focus is on power and control and selfish desires. That is why James says that this kind of wisdom is confusion, and out of it every evil thing. On the other hand, we have God's wisdom. God's people have a wisdom from above, which he says first is pure and peaceable. It is gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and hypocrisy. We see that in the verses we read in Proverbs when he says, to seek wisdom, get understanding, be wise. Well, what are we to understand? We are to understand the will of the Lord. That is godly wisdom. We are to seek and understand the will of the Lord. This wisdom brings with it humility. Unlike the wisdom of the world, it is not self-seeking or self-promoting, but rather it seeks after the will of God, which produces in us fruit of the Spirit, the attributes of a true follower of Christ, love, peace, joy. Because we know through all these things it is Christ who first loved us, and it is only Christ who can give us peace through trials and temptations, which is why the first response of the people in that little Texas church was to cry out to God. And it is by this wisdom of God and understanding of these things that we can have joy no matter what our circumstances are, because Christ died for us, making our adoption into the family of God secure. Nothing else can bring peace and joy than a knowledge like that, and resting in Christ as our Savior. Godly wisdom also creates peace and gentleness. We should be loving when we are debating our brothers and sisters in Christ over doctrine, and not resorting to the tactics of the world of name-calling and acting out in anger and frustration. We should be seeking to be peaceable, meek, and loving in all of our conduct. So how do these two different forms of wisdom show themselves? Well, those who have an earthly wisdom will boast of their wisdom. They'll make it known to everyone around them how wise they are and how smart they are. It is very prideful, and they are seeking glory for themselves. Wisdom from God is shown by our conduct, as James says in verse 13. "Who is wise and understanding, let him show by good conduct that his words are done in meekness of wisdom." So how do we get this wisdom from above that James and Proverbs are talking about? Well, James answers that right in the first chapter, verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him." Also, we gain wisdom through reading the Bible, learning about Christ, and growing in grace. I think we can apply the same type of principle that Paul uses in Romans when he's talking about being a witness. Romans 10:14, he says, "Well, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" The same is true with wisdom. How shall we gain wisdom if we do not read God's word? For it is by his word that he speaks to us. This is why the way we live out our lives as Christians is so important. Why it is important to be in the word, to be a people of prayer, to be faithful, merciful, meek, kind, and gentle. There are people on the outside who see this, and even people who do not believe see a difference between those who truly do and those who are faking it. Our faith is not a mystical faith. It is not just words. It is not empty. Our faith contains substance. Our lives will show forth and flow out of what is inside. Seek wisdom, get understanding, and bear the fruit of righteousness sown in peace. Let us close in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you as we just go over these things. We think of those people in Texas, and our heart goes out to them. This tragedy that happened last week. And it isn't just that. It's all across this country. Every weekend in Chicago, and just things that are not even reported. Lord, it just breaks our heart when we think of these things. Lord, you tell us to ask for wisdom, for guidance, and for help. And Lord, we do that now. We ask for wisdom as we go about our way this week, and that you would be with each and every one of us as we interact with those around us, that we act in the way that you would have us to, in a godly, peaceful, meek way. And in Jesus' name, amen.